Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We are making our way through all the issues of The Jinx. That's a newsletter for magicians and mentalists, lasted from 1934 to 1941. And a lot of what we do as mystery performers can be explained with, it's in The Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out which of the ideas are still usable, which is most all of them, and also which ones are the real gems. We're looking at issue number 7 today, which contains The ELM Card Change by E. Leslie May, The Question of the Month by Theodore Animan, A Practical Card Code by Orville Wayne Meyer, The New Nightmare Effect by Animan, The Lemon and the Dollars, Conrad Busch, and finally The Editorial by Theodore Animan. Here's the first effect from issue number 7, the ELM card change, and this one is a really clean close-up piece. The effect goes like this. A spectator freely selects a card, initials the face, and it goes back into the deck. You then take a card, initial it yourself so everyone can see which card it is, and drop it into your pocket. The deck is then handed to somebody to hold. Now you ask the spectator to guess where both initialed cards are, and whatever they say, they are wrong. They look through the deck themselves and find your initialed card sitting right there in the middle, and then they reach into your pocket and pull out their own card. No rough and smooth, no specially printed cards, no switching the deck. This works with any borrowed deck, anytime, any place. Now, the method does involve a couple of moves that are well worth adding to your repertoire if you are into card work. Even if you never perform this exact effect, those things will be well used in the future. Once you see how cleanly everything fits together, you'll understand why Animan thought it was worth putting into The Jinx. The next one is a little different. It's called The Question of the Month, and it's actually written by Animan himself. Rather than presenting a finished effect, Animan is throwing down a challenge to his readers. He describes an opening and closing piece for a card routine built around a prop called a tambourine, which is basically a hoop with a tissue paper drum head stretched across it. And, you know, you don't see those very often anymore. It was typically a stage item back in the day, way back in the day. So the opening is this. You walk out holding one of these tambourines, show it on both sides, show your hand empty, and then punch your hand right through the paper. Your hand comes out the other side holding a fan of cards. Fast forward through your card routine, and for your closing, you make a second tambourine, drop your cards into it, pick it up, show the paper bottom completely unbroken, and then punch through again, and the cards are gone. Animan says he has the production figured out, but not the vanish, and he's offering a prize, 2 10-issue subscription periods, to any reader who can solve it. So, if you are listening to this sometime in 1935, you might want to write in. For the rest of us, the full challenge is posted at JinxNavigator.com. The next piece from issue number 7 is a little different. It's not a standalone effect, so much as a system. It's a verbal card code. It's submitted by Orville Wayne Meyer, and it's designed for a performer working with an assistant. So the premise is the classic 2-person mind reading setup. A helper selects a card, and your assistant, who may be blindfolded or have their back turned, somehow divines exactly which card it is. The whole thing is driven by a conversation that sounds completely natural to the audience. The suit is hidden in the very first question the performer asks. For example, the words, tell me, mean hearts. Tell us means diamonds. Now tell me means spades, and now tell us means clubs, and so on. So from that single opening sentence, the assistant already knows the suit. From there, the assistant and the performer pass the remaining information back and forth through a short, casual-sounding exchange, what the assistant says, what the performer says back, and even deliberate silences all carry meaning. And by the end of just a very few sentences, the assistant has the complete card. Animan closes with a nice tip. Finish the routine by forcing a card you've both agreed on beforehand and name it without a single word being spoken between you, which is a very nice way to throw off anyone who's been listening too carefully. So full details on this, including the coding chart, are at JinxNavigator.com, and check out the comments underneath that article for more about recommended 2-person coding systems. The next effect is called The New Nightmare, and it is by Ted Animan. He mentions it's a reworked version of something he published 6 years earlier, which was the original somewhere around 1929. The effect goes like this. You write a prediction on the face of a card and hand it to a helper to hold without looking at it. A second helper riffles through the deck, calls stop whenever they like, and notes whatever card they've landed on. The deck is closed and set on the table. No funny business. You now ask the first helper to read what's written on the card they've been holding the whole time. It says, the card chosen will be the Three of Clubs. The second helper confirms that is exactly the card they stopped at, but wait, there's more. You take the deck, deal through it, face up, one card at a time, and the Three of Clubs is simply not there. You explain that it didn't just get predicted, it actually changed places with the card you wrote on. The first helper turns over the card they've been holding the whole time and shows it is the Three of Clubs. And this works with a borrowed deck. Now, there is a gimmick involved, but it's one you make yourself and carry with you, and the arts and crafts needed are very, very minimal. Once it's in place, the borrowed deck does most of the heavy lifting. This looked like a really cool effect to me, and doesn't take much in the way of sleights. I guess you could call one thing you have to do a sleight, but it's really, really tiny. So check it out at jinxnavigator.com. This next effect in issue number 7 is The Lemon and the Dollar by Conrad Bush. Now, this is a classic of magic. Money vanishes and turns up inside a piece of fruit, but Bush has stripped it down to a clean, direct version that holds up really well. The effect goes like this. Three lemons are passed out into the audience, and one is chosen and held by somebody. The other two are tossed back. A second helper loans you a dollar bill. Someone writes down the serial number, and you tear off one corner and hand it back to the owner as a receipt. The bill then vanishes. The helper who's been holding the lemon this whole time takes it out of their pocket, and they cut it open. Inside is a rolled-up bill. The serial number matches. The torn corner fits perfectly. If you have done Bill and Lemon before, and haven't we all, then you kind of know what's going on. All three lemons are prepared in advance, which is what makes the free selection possible. And then you've got the serial number that matches, the corner that matches, all of the good stuff. Anneman includes an editor's note where he respectfully pushes back on one aspect of Bush's handling, and he offers an alternative method for the vanish that he'd previously sold as part of another effect. It's a nice glimpse into how Anneman thought about layering convincers into a routine. Full details are at jinxnavigator.com, including a comment that I added with a couple of hints for the setup, the get ready for the effect. I don't currently perform the effect, but back in the day, I did it hundreds of times. Anneman closes issue number 7 with his editorial, including a remembrance of John Northern Hilliard, a figure well known in the magic world of that era. A man who spent 30 years as a press agent and business rep for some of the greatest magicians of his time, and who Anneman credits as the originator of the telephone card trick as an effect. It's a genuinely warm tribute, and you can tell this one really hit him. He then shifts into a bit of a rant, and it's a good one. His target is magicians who overexplain what they're doing, announcing that your hands are empty, that everything is unprepared, that you are now placing the rabbit into the hat. He makes the point that no acrobat doing a headstand stops to announce that they are standing on their head. What's funny is that I see this exact same thing talked about today, just as it was in 1935, which makes me think magicians just don't learn. Some of us, anyway. He closes with a tease for issue number 8, which he says contains a compiled list he's been working on for over 6 months and thinking about for 2 years. And he's already bracing for the controversy it's going to start. We'll get there when we get there. That's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. If you want to see every article in every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com, sign up, completely free. Use the contact form on that site if you want to let me know what you think about the site or the podcast, good or bad. I'll take any kind of feedback. My name is Jay Jennings. I'm from jinxnavigator.com. And I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue number 8, which includes Anneman's 5-foot shelf of magic, which has a modern equivalent available. Thank you in advance for helping spread the word about this, the Jinx Navigator podcast. See you next week.